My name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hi, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. Welcome back. I already did this intro, but you wouldn't know it because Colby wasn't recording.
Can you tell she's mad at me?
We are back with another month of the podcast. We're doing music this week, which is really exciting because our music episode two months ago, I think, was one of our most highest downloaded episodes in a really long time. So we just thought we'd continue that.
A coda, if you will.
A coda, a reprise. The finale part two in Hamilton. But yeah, and just a reminder before we get into the question of the week of the month, if you want to pay us $15 once or over the course of the podcast, we will podcast about whatever you want. No one's done it yet, so you could be the first. It would be a huge honor.
It really would be, and we'll talk about almost anything.
We have no boundaries.
We have like three or four boundaries. This month, for our question of the week of the month, Martha, what's the last thing you watched on Netflix?
Well, to no one's surprise, the last thing I watched on Netflix was Twilight New Moon. And I think the full title is The Twilight Saga, New Moon. They recently got put on Netflix, which is awesome. Awesome for who, you may be asking. Awesome for me, because I'm doing a group rewatch with my friends, because some of my friends haven't seen it. And we are starting from the beginning, and we're doing one a week. So as of today, we're recording on a Sunday. We'll be watching Twilight Saga Eclipse a little bit later. And then we're in the home stretch. We only have two more after that. So it's pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited to finish this because it's actually, they're good. They're good to make fun of. They're good to like have drinks with friends and just like sit and chat about it. But
you know, I want to believe you, but the way it just pained you to say they're good makes me think that maybe perhaps they aren't.
It depends on what your definition of good is. Like good, bad? Absolutely. They're good, bad. Oh, I just thought
there's
of another.
There's a place in this world for good, bad.
I just thought of another matrix I could make. A good, bad matrix. This might be useful. Backstory for those of you who don't know me in person. I recently made something called a hot, ugly matrix where we ranked celebrities and shoes and fictional characters on the matrix. So you could have a hot, hot personality. You could be hot physically, ugly personality. You could be ugly physically, but have a good personality.
It's as weird as she's making it sound now.
Did I really need to share that? I don't know.
No, you didn't, but I really hope this stays in the edit. You really didn't have to. See, so one thing that Martha does a lot is, or one thing she asked us recently is, why is she the one that gets picked on all the time? and my response to her was, friend, you do it to yourself.
I just make it too easy.
But you make it extremely easy.
Here's the thing. I think I'm just an earnest person, and I think people like to pick on that. But it doesn't bother me because I know everyone means well. They're not like attacking my character or anything, so I just like laugh it off most of the time. But
when you're watching Animal Planet, if you're watching one of these nature documentaries, the lions do not go for the strongest wildebeest. They go for the one that obviously has some things.
Are you comparing yourself to a lion?
Just saying.
Maybe pick on someone your own size. How about that, Colby? What was the last thing you watched on Netflix?
Speaking of picking on someone your own size, the last thing I watched was the Malice at the Palace Untold documentary. It is the story of what actually happened the lead up to the big fight between the Pacers and the Pistons up in Detroit on that fateful November day in 2004 that legitimately changed the direction of the NBA for years and years down the line. Like, I can point to things today that still have echoes of the Malice at the Palace. It's really interesting. Produced by Jermaine O'Neal, who is on the Pacers, is one of the people that had to go to court because of the Malice at the Palace. So it's a perspective you might not have heard before. Because one thing we learned in documentary, the players had like a gag order and couldn't talk about it. So check it out. It's really good.
I will. I don't watch a lot of documentaries, actually. I don't know why. I like them generally when I watch them, but I think it either has to be so obscure for me to watch it or like something I'm really interested in. Like, I used to watch a ton of fashion documentaries, and then I watched like the Tickling documentary, which was really weird.
It's super weird.
It's really weird. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. Not, I mean, it's very, it's,
I'm uncomfortable thinking about it.
It makes you uncomfortable, but I also don't think it's a bad documentary.
No, it was well made.
It does its job of making you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I think I prefer docuseries to documentary.
I remember I got super into that, the murderer one on Netflix, Stephen Avery, making a murderer. I think.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
I got super into that because I had a friend in college who was from Manitowoc, and she would like provide behind the scenes details like of the people who live there and like this whole thing. I wonder if he ever
is that like when Toby was in the jury for this Granton Strangler. Is it the same kind of deal?
I forgot about that.
It's one of the best storylines on The Office. It's really funny.
Yeah,
you know what, Pete, I feel like the pendulum swung too far the other way on The Office. The Office is funny. It's a funny television show.
Here's the thing, what I think about The Office. I think that for a while, it was a slow burn. Like, people liked it, but they didn't tell you how much they liked it. And then something switched. Maybe when it ended, maybe when, like, my generation, like, our generation, like, went to college. But that's all people could talk about. And now it's sort of, like, back to, you know, I'm really sick of hearing people talk about it. But I think in a few years, it'll swing back around and be like, you know, interesting to talk about. And maybe I'll even watch it again. But I think a lot of like, weirdly, a lot of dating profiles will be like, I hope The Office isn't your full, like your whole personality. And I'm like, that's kind of like harsh. Like, is, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of harsh, but.
But I get it. And I get that impulse. And also when I, when like The Office is on and I watch it, I laugh every single time.
Yeah. And like Steve Carell is a really good actor.
Anyway, this is not The Office podcast. You can listen to The Office Ladies.
No, but now I'm just remembering Idris Elba. God, could we talk about Idris Elba for a moment? What happened to him? Why does he get the worst roles in Hollywood? Like he was in The Wire.
Can't say no. Never said no.
Critically acclaimed show. Then he's in Cats. Then he's also in Fast and Furious. He's also in Thor Ragnarok. But now what? He's going to be in Sonic? Like, I don't know. Maybe
he was also in The Suicide Squad.
Yes. Yes. Like, I don't know.
I'm not questioning it. I love the Idris.
Same, same. I think he's great in everything he does. But the
maybe he just really likes acting.
Maybe. Why it's Cats,
his favorite
though?
Thing.
Why haven't we done a podcast about Cats? But anyways, this.
I think we talked about it. Anyway.
I think we did. But
we aren't talking about musicals, but we are talking about music today.
We are. We ended last, a couple months ago, talking about, you know, orchestra and band and what we liked, you know, about those experiences. But what we didn't talk about was what was the best piece of music we've ever played, or like the most fun piece. So we've ever played in band or orchestra or marching band. So Colby, what were some of the fun things that you played throughout your time in a band?
Sure. So I think my favorite marching band show was in college when we did a show we called Home. You can look it up. The Marching Tar Heels Home Show, I believe, is 2016, maybe 2017. Probably 16, though. If you search it, it'll come up. And we played Philip Phillips Home. And we followed that up with Raise Up by Petey Pablo, North Carolina's own.
He's really from North Carolina.
Yeah. And we had some Wagon Wheel in there, some Carolina Girls, and finished it off with Carolina In My Mind. And like it had a medley of some school songs. So it was a good time. Oh, yeah. And Sweet Caroline. Sweet Caroline was in there.
Ba-ba-ba. The best thing I ever played in orchestra, there was a couple of things. One of them was Dance Bacchanal by Camille Saint-Saëns. That's how I always say the name. I don't know. I just feel like I'm being extra French. But it was a really, really complex piece, and it comes together really beautifully with all the parts. And it's just like edgy. It's fast. It's fast moving. So that's really fun. I remember, this isn't the question, but I remember one of the worst pieces we ever played was this guy. He wanted to do a solo. So a couple of the seniors every year got to do solos. I never signed up. I was like, not good enough for that. But this guy really wanted to play a Rachmaninoff piano piece. And so we had practiced, like, I don't know if it was like our orchestra wasn't up to it or he was not playing it correctly, but the day of the concert, he completely forgot the middle of it. And we were like, what's happening? So we just kept playing, but we're like, the cues are not matching. Like, I don't know if we're going to end up in the right spot. But this dude just like straight up improvised this whole piano concerto. And it was awful. It was so bad. I'm like embarrassed thinking about that.
If I wouldn't know we were talking about worse, I could have mined.
Well, no, we can talk about worse. We're going on the fly. So you can talk about worse after I talk about my other favorite piece, yeah, which is Pirates of the Caribbean. All-time orchestra pop show classic. I love it. A lot of those pieces are just classics for a reason. So it's just fun to play and fun to listen to.
I think in concert band, it's leaving my head now. First Suite in E-flat by Gustav Holst, who also did the Planet Suite, is really good that I played. I think the first thing I ever played tuba on. A Childhood Remembered, also really, really good. And like, I don't know if it's the orchestration or just the arrangement, but it feels like nostalgia. Mm-hmm. It's just a really good piece, as well as Bayou Breakdown, which is just a really fun, really fast. It's not that hard, but because of the tempo, it gets a little squirrely at times. But if you can keep it locked in, it sounds really cool, and it's just a fun way to end a night of concert music. As far as worst, it probably has to do some of the pop tunes that we tried in college and just didn't work out, or they sounded good, but I just didn't like playing them. I think at the top of the list, and my friends that play trumpet at Carolina would kill me, but David Lee Roth, who was in Van Halen, he has a song called Just a Gigolo that came out in 1988. It's like kind of big band. It sounds like a 40s big band piece.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, but like when you're at a basketball game, you're trying to get people hype. People aren't really trying to listen to Just a Gigolo in the Dean Dome getting ready for a basketball game. So I don't think that was the move. On the other hand, Dark Horse by Katy Perry was super fun to play it in.
Oh, that would be fun.
That was really fun, as well as, is it Sorry? Demi Lovato? Sorry, Not Sorry?
Yeah.
That was also super fun. So
all I'm thinking of is it too late to know how to say sorry? But that's not the song.
Also, in the yikesy years of Kesha, Timber was really, really fun to play. So
nice.
Yeah.
Music is fun.
I like music. Music's really fun. Playing music. I kind of miss playing music.
Would you say that like you're playing, so say you're playing something that you like, would you consider that, like, would you listen to it again? Would it become a part of like your taste in music? Or would it be you know, just like one and done. And you never think about it again.
That's a really interesting question. If I like playing it, then yes, it's going into my rotation. A shocking amount of my... So I'm a total weirdo who does not split his music library into playlists like normal people. I just have one big playlist, and if I'm not feeling a song in a moment, I'll just skip it.
Mm-hmm.
But a significant percentage of that playlist is stuff that I've played in band, as far as like pop tunes.
I'm the opposite, because if I play something, I've probably played it so many times that I'm like, eh. And I also, I don't listen to classical music really on the regular. Like it's, gosh, hardly ever anymore. I think I maybe did more in high school or college. Like when I was studying, I got really into like the chill vibes. But now I don't, which makes me kind of sad now that I'm saying that, because I do like classical music. It's just, I like other things too. Like you have one big playlist. I have seasonal playlists and I have mood playlists. I used to name them like summer 19, but now I've like gotten more creative with my names. Like last summer's playlist was the Murder Hornets.
Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah, right. We kind of forgot about that as a society, but that was really scary for a while. Not that like I'm pretty sure their projected path was never Minnesota, but still, like, I don't know. I don't like bees in general. I don't like being stung. It just freaks me out. So
yeah, I do not. I am not a fan of bees. I had a traumatic experience when I was a child. And I trust nothing with a stinger.
Yeah. Same. Yeah, for good reason. I feel like lately my taste in music has sort of evolved. In high school, I was really, really into indie music. I remember there was this magazine called Nylon, and you could download free music playlists. I might have talked about this on the last pod, but I would download them onto my iTunes and like listen to those. And it's funny when some of that stuff comes up years later, I'll be like, oh, I kind of know this because I downloaded a free playlist in high school. It was really indie music all the time. Like I knew the pop stuff because everyone knows that. Like, I don't think it's cool to be like, I don't listen to the top 40 station. Like, I don't really think that's cool. I think, the music is popular for a reason, I guess. I don't know where I'm going with this point.
I think that's something, especially in high school, is like, oh yeah, I don't listen to pop music. Mm-hmm. And now the funny thing is, my friends that I still have from them, if you played the stuff that was popular in high school, they know all the words. You did listen to it. Listened to it. You just didn't want to admit listen to it because it's not cool to like popular things when you're 15 years old.
No, it's cool to like the pop punk shows or like indie bands that no one knows about. I mean, I had an ex that was really, really into music. He was a DJ for a while. And a lot of the stuff that I like now, I sort of got from him. But, you know, Phoebe Bridgers is really like having a moment. She's hitting it big. And I remember him going to a Phoebe Bridgers concert ages ago. He brought me back a t-shirt. So I think it's funny how eventually the stuff that becomes indie almost gets bigger, I guess. Like there are some bands that I really liked a long time ago, and I was like, you know, I don't really like need to see them again. But it was just so fun. Like I remember I saw Hozier at a really small venue, which I love him. I think he's great and really talented. But now I've already seen him. I don't know. I don't need to see him again. But there are some bands that I will see every time they come into town, just because either they're so like still on my playlist rotations, or I just, you know, haven't, you know, they just put on a really good show, like Harry Styles. I'll always make a point to go see him. I love him. Bon Iver is another one. I might get made fun of if Javi listens to this, because he called me out on that one time, our friend Javi. But I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of just rambling on here about like my music taste. But are there any bands that, you know, you've either liked for a really long time, or ones that you used to like and now you kind of don't think about anymore?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think because of my music listening habits, I never really like glommed onto an artist like that. I was very much like, I listen to the singles, which is, I think, why my playlist is so weird and will like jump from like very folksy, like old country, like John Denver to like Alicia Keys, and then jump to the Chainsmokers, and then the Four Tops and James Taylor. Like, because I just skim the top of everything, you know? I feel like, one, I get the good stuff, and I skip all the middle of the album filler that's not that good. But I don't know. I like being well-rounded and trying to listen to as many genres as I can. I used to be one of those like, oh, I'll listen to everything but country. And then I just had to realize it's not that I don't like country. It's just like the country that's the most popular right now isn't very good. So I'll just listen to the stuff that is very good.
Remember when Taylor Swift was country?
Yeah, the good times. When I was in high school is when Florida Georgia Line blew up, and then the bro country came, and I am not a fan of that personally. But also in high school, I found Kacey Musgraves. I was like, hey, I like this. This is cool. I can rock
that's pretty early on to find her, I feel like. I feel like I want Kacey to make it really big, but for some reason, I just feel like she hasn't yet, and it kind of makes me sad. Maybe she has. I don't know.
I think she's bigger than you think she is.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't listen to her often, but like I always do like it when I listen to her. She opened for Harry Styles on his first tour, which was really fun to see. And her Christmas album is amazing. It's like, I love that album so much. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any bands that I liked that were either like big before anyone else or I just didn't. You know, I will say that as much as I talked crap about Twilight earlier, I forgot I could swear on this podcast for a second. As much as I talked shit about Twilight earlier in my life, in this podcast even, I think their soundtracks were ahead of their time. They had amazing soundtracks like Iron and Wine, Bon Iver, Likey Lee, St. Vincent, I think, had a track. So those soundtracks were like pretty big for my music taste, I feel like. And like I still listen to them because they're so good. I really feel like that doesn't go out of fashion very quickly. What about you? Is there anything that, what am I trying to say? Are there any movie soundtracks that you really like?
Oh, movie soundtracks. Yes, Space Jam. Your original Space Jam soundtrack is, besides the one unfortunate artist.
Who's that?
Wow, I like erased his name from my memory. R. Kelly.
Yeah.
But if it makes you feel any better, he's getting zero residuals off of that.
Oh, that's good.
Soundtrack. But yeah, the Space Jam soundtrack is unreasonably good. even though I don't love that movie that much, Into the Spider-Verse is like that could just be a regular album, and I would listen to it on repeat. It's just really solid.
That is a really good album.
Also the Batmans, the 90s Batmans had pretty solid.
You mean the Prince Batman? That was later than 90s.
I mean that one. Which is the one with Kiss from a Rose, whichever one has Kiss from a Rose on it. I haven't seen any of those movies, so I can't tell.
I haven't either. I'm like, I don't know. We'll have to
I've listened to a large portion of those soundtracks and not actually seen those movies. It's Batman Forever, by the way.
Okay.
But those movies had really good soundtracks. If you look back on those soundtracks, you would be surprised at what's on them.
I'll look up after this. Right now, I know what you mean, though, because everyone's really into the Bo Burnham Inside piece and special, and I've not watched it. I've only listened to the music, and it is stuck in my head forever. It will never leave me, ever. What about like things that are meaningful? Like, are there any meaningful songs for you? Any songs that sort of define a moment in your life or a moment in time that you, every time you hear it, you get taken back? Do you have any of those?
I think a lot of those songs for me are probably, I don't know how to describe this era of music, but in the, it started in the late 2000s or late 90s. And I'd say it went through at least the early 2010s until the sound really started to change. But in the late 90s, there was an artist who you might have heard of, might not, named Kirk Franklin, who decided, I'm going to take a church to the club. And it just kind of like started a new type of gospel music that was really popular with a lot of Black youth choirs around the country. So a lot of Black people my age, around my age, maybe a little older, have like this, just this library of like Kirk Franklin and Hezekiah Walker and like that whole conclave of artists that we know so many songs just from singing them over and over and over and over again. And it reminds me of home in a pleasant way.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. I feel like music is really weird like that. I don't know why, or I don't know how like your brain works in that psychology thing, however it works, but I don't know. There's a lot of, I don't know. There's a lot of songs for me that really take me back. One of them, I might have told this story on the podcast years ago or maybe recently, but my ex introduced me to Sam Smith, and he was like popular before, but I think we really both got into it. Like we really loved him, and the song like Stay With Me off of one of his albums just takes me back immediately to like that relationship and that time. And a funny story is, it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. A few months after we broke up, we still had these Sam Smith tickets. And I'm like, okay, like, I guess we could go together and deal with just like hang out as friends. I cried the whole time because it's songs about like breakups and
oh yeah, that I mean that first album is called In the Lonely Hour.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and it was just to her first second album, I think. And
No, it's okay. Let it out. I know there's a lot of feelings in there. So
no, I'm just take a minute. It's fine. I just think that just takes me back immediately. I think it's really special too. I used to not be able to listen to it at all because it like made me too sad. But now I'm like, okay, you know, like those were happy years of my life. Like I want to listen to it and, you know, just think about it and be happy because it's still music. I feel like no one should take music away from you, if that makes sense. Like if there's a song that you both listen to or I don't know, like that you both really liked, I don't know, still listen to it. Take the power back, I guess.
You know what Sam Smith song I hated and then grew on me so much that it's one of my favorite songs? It's not his, but La 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 with
Normani?
No, with Naughty Boy.
Oh.
It was like one of his first things. It was like around the same time that like Lay Me Down and
Lay Me Down. It's a good one.
Like very like early yeah. Sam Smith.
I remember his song with Disclosure too is really good.
Latch. Really it's so good.
Yeah, it's still really good. And then he had another one called Omen, which is also really good. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that like is immediately. I think I mentioned this last time, but any Green Day song, because it reminds me of like listening with my dad or like a Coldplay song.
Okay. And question here, because someone who I follow on Twitter, Todd in the Shadows, asked this question. What is the like premier Green Day song for you? Like if you were like, hey, this is a Green Day song, what would you put in front of them?
A good question. I think I have two. I think the first being American Idiot, just because it's everyone knows that song. Yeah. It's American Idiot.
That's a perfectly fine answer. Yeah. I'm not gonna argue with you.
And then I think Wake Me Up When September Ends, because for some reason I always think about it all the time. Not all the time, but like for some reason that song like sticks in my head. It's like a Green Day song. And I sometimes they still play it on the radio, and I'm like, oh, weird. Like, this is from 2005 or whatever. Like, I don't know. So
earlier than that, because that Wake Me Up When September Ends was on American Idiot. It was on the same album.
Yeah.
But he made the point that Green Day specifically for two different generations have like two seminal albums. Like there's Dookie that came out in the early 90s, which like Basket Case would probably be your answer. And then probably for us, like for people, I'm probably the cutoff. Like my age and older is American Idiot or Wake Me Up When September Ends.
Well, funnily enough,
or Holiday.
Holiday too. Holiday.
Probably American Idiot though.
Holiday is so good. They're actually playing a show tomorrow. I was thinking about getting tickets because not so loud, but it's like the holy trio of like old school punk rock bands that I listened to growing up. It's like Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy. Like what a dream show. I don't know why I'm not going. Like why don't I have tickets? I feel like I might just buy one and go down there by myself and just like hang out and listen because it sounds so fun. I think that's off topic, but yeah.
There's some 31-year-old man that wears white t-shirts and wears Wayfarers and has a beard that probably needs to be trimmed a little that is very excited about that. Oh, lineup.
Absolutely. that's really
no tea, no shade. Great lineup.
Yeah. No, you know what I hate though is when concerts go too long though. So I'm like, okay, I kind of need to like see if it's going to be a 3-hour show, but it starts really early. It starts at 5:30.
Oh.
Yeah. So that'll be nice. It'll be over fast.
Sure.
But we'll see. I'll keep you posted if I decide to go.
Please do.
So speaking of, you know, like, music, a lot of the artists we've been talking about are really popular, known for a couple of songs. And one of the things we talked about before we started this podcast was like pop music and how pop music is popular for a reason, but it also it's familiar. It has like the chord progressions we all know. It's nothing too out of touch or anything wild. But why do you think that is? Why do you think pop music is the way it is? And why do you think it's so like popular? Why does it sound the same?
That's a interesting follow-up when we just start finished talking about Fall Out Boy and Green Day, because pop punk, punk rock is even more like, at least with chord diversity, is even less even less complicated than like traditional pop music, because instead of using four chords, they use three. And they just cycle those three over and over and over again, which is why everyone who bought a guitar between, 1996 and 2004 can play every single one of those songs. They all right. use the same three chords. And nothing against that. It's a very good way to make music. And it works and it endures, like we are talking about today. But those pop music chords for those who know Western music theory, the one chord, the four chord, the five chord, and the minor six chord.
The minor fall and the major lift?
Yes, literally, yes. The minor chord, I think it is the minor six. It's either minor six or minor third. Anyway, that's Hallelujah. It goes back to a fourth or a fifth. I'd have to play it to tell you. But those chords work, one, is like a logistical thing. It never sounds resolved. It never sounds fully finished. It always sounds like it's going to keep going and going and going. So you can just loop those four chords. They still sound interesting. There's still tension in release. There is tension between the four chord and either going to five or one, which are considered, according to Western music theory, is more stable. It kind of pushes and pulls you between those two big sounds. And it just works really well for pop music. So you can sing about love. You can sing about heartbreak. You can sing about your dog and it still sounds good. So yeah, that's why all pop music sounds the same. It's because they all kind of use the same four chords. They used to be ordered in a different way. If you look up the 50s progression, if you want like a more old school sound kind of sound, you can, might want to lean that way. But what's interesting is that what used to be those four chords, the 1 to 4 to 5 and the minor six, has changed pretty recently to a different chord progression that people like, who did Hot Girl Bummer?
Black Bear?
Yeah, like I think that song also, Billie Eilish uses it a lot. They're like the depressed four chords. The we're all sitting in our rooms, four chords, and we want to do something, but we're all also very sad about the environment four chords that have gotten really popular more recently on the top 40 charts. So interesting development there, but I don't know how much that'll endure. Just because it's only been a year or so. But.
Right. I'm just thinking of how obsessed we were with Hot Girl Bummer in like our chat.
Listen, both Hot Girl Summer and Hot Girl Bummer, I think they're both good songs.
There's good songs. I couldn't even tell you who sings.
Even though Hot Girl Bummer had to grow on me, that song, I hated it when I first heard it, and it just drilled its way into my head. Just mere exposure.
Why can't I not even think of who sings Hot Girl Summer?
It's Meg Stallion.
Oh, that's right. See, it's bad. I know Hot Girl Bummer more.
Hot Girl Summer wasn't even that big of a hit.
I know. But, and really Hot Girl Bummer was. So yeah, weird.
I think on the pop charts, Hot Girl Bummer ended up being higher than Hot Girl, the song Hot Girl Summer.
I think so.
Now, what lasts is the vibe of Hot Girl Summer. That's still going. Hot Girl Summer started in 2019. I don't believe it's ended yet.
It has certainly not. Hot Girl everything all the time. What like makes pop music good? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
That's great question.
Well, let's break it down a little bit more, I think. But why did Hot Girl Bummer get on the charts higher than Hot Girl Summer? Why does, you know, like every Harry Styles song charts, because is it good or does he just have a lot of fans?
I mean, Harry Styles has some chart inertia. The charts really like him. Very playable on the radio. I think that's part of the reason Hot Girl Bummer probably was more radio friendly. It was just because it's a little bit friendlier to mainstream pop than Megan Thee Stallion is.
Yeah.
I think if that song comes out last year or this year, Hot Girl Summer is probably a bigger hit. But I don't know. I think radio play at least used to be the thing that got stuff pumped up to the top. Mm-hmm. Nowadays it's a TikTok, the app I don't have.
Shocking, honestly.
It's just it's wild how many songs have like shot up the charts because of like a 15 to minute long clip, just one part, like Astronaut in the Ocean or whatever.
Oh yeah, that's a good song.
No, it's not. It's a bad song. I like it.
It's catchy, but it's catchy. That's the whole point we're trying to make, is that like.
But here's the thing, and it happens every time. And I hope my fiance is listening to this on the other side, because when that song comes on, I think it's Nonstop by Drake every single time, because it sounds like Nonstop. And then it's not, and then I'm disappointed. But that beat goes really hard, and I think that's what got that song as popular as it is. That beat is great. That production on that track is incredible.
Yeah, it is. And I'm thinking, like, it's also, TikTok is really cool because a lot of the artists that maybe wouldn't necessarily go through traditional ways, like get signed to a label, then become big or like whatever, like they have this opportunity to show off. And I don't know, I feel like a lot of it, like I get your point too, but I think a lot of it also has to do with people choosing to take things viral. Like, hey, that's a good song. Let's, you know, boost it. Let's make videos out of it. Let's.
Oh, yeah. That told. But the thing is that I'll call it astroturfing. Doesn't always work because.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber tries this a lot. And it just sometimes it works, but at least in recent years, hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked for some people, but has like notoriously not worked for like Yummy. He really tried to make Yummy like a big hit. And I think people just weren't having it.
Although I will say I do like his new song with the Kid Leroy. Like that is stuck in my head often. I just think it's really catchy. Let's end on a fun question. Who is, and this may be easier for me than you, but who is your favorite artist from North Carolina?
Ooh, my favorite artist from North Carolina. That's probably, also, yeah, Minnesota has, I was going to say a weird amount, but that might be a little disrespectful. But Minnesota has a lot of really good artists mm-hmm. from there. You go first. Let me think about this for a second because I have one in my head. And I want to make sure I'm not forgetting anybody.
Well, I think there are a couple local bands that I really like. One of them is Hippocampus. I do think they actually moved to LA, though, which is a bummer. Everyone likes Lizzo. Hot take. I think she's just fine. But that might get me kicked off the island. The obvious, I gotta say, is like Prince. Old people like Bob Dylan. You're right. There is a weird amount of artists from here that do really well. There's Semisonic, which is kind of like an old people's band. Trampled by Turtles is another folk band that I really, really like. They rock the violin and the banjo and stuff. You go, because now I have to like look up if I'm missing anything too.
As DaBaby continues to be in free fall.
Oh, he's from North Carolina?
Ooh. Yeah, I'm not sure if he's, I think he might be from, like, Ohio, but, like, he's, like, he reps Charlotte. A couple months ago, that might have been higher up my list, but, the Ben Folds 5, formed in Chapel Hill. Didn't know that.
Fucking Lips Inc. is from Minneapolis.
Interesting.
Excuse me? Funky Town? What?
There's a lot of country that I'm just like, or like rock that I don't really listen to. I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't listen to it. Like, I don't listen to Eric Church.
Oof.
Or Scotty McCreery like that. Not really. Avid Brothers.
Oh, I do like the Avid Brothers.
Not really my bag. Luke Combs, not really my bag. I like J. Cole.
I think my dad has seen the Avid Brothers at least five to six times. It's a little rough.
Kelly Pickler. Oh, my goodness. This is wild. Oh, up-and-coming person, Rhapsody. She's really good. Check her out. She's very good at what she does. Yeah, I'm good with that.
One artist that I'm liking right now is Bad Bad Hats. They just had a really catchy song on the radio about the Philadelphia. Oh God, what was it? It was about.
Well, while you're looking, another one I like from North Carolina is kind of smaller. Delta Ray, their folk band.
I know Delta Ray. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Delta Ray is from down here. I think they're from Durham, actually. They're cool.
There's the Bad Bad Hat song I was talking about was called Detroit Basketball, which I thought was funny. It was like really catchy, but yeah, that's interesting. I feel like I wonder like what state has the most famous people from. That's probably like really hard to quantify, but
probably I would wager California, Texas, Florida, and New York.
Probably. But if for terms of two smaller states, Minnesota, North Carolina, not doing too bad. Not doing too bad.
Minnesota's really not. Like, Minnesota has a lot of talent coming out of it, especially the Twin Cities area.
Why, though? I have no idea.
I don't know. That's a... I might have ran across, like, a blog or something about it, and I didn't read it. but yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to say about music before we close?
Music's good. Oh, I do have something. How do you find new music?
Ooh, that was a good question. TikTok. Or I ask people to make playlists for me.
Yes, that's smart. For a long time, this guy that works for SB Nation named Kofi, who's from North Carolina, he's from Raleigh. He made playlists called like Infinite Shuffle that he put on Twitter or he posted them on his newsletter that I was reading, and that's how I would find new music for a very long time. But then he got busy because work happens, and now I've kind of fell off finding new music. My Discover Weekly is cool on Spotify, but also it's very old.
Yeah.
it's very 80s and 90s R&B, which is good. I like 80s and 90s R&B, but it's not what I'm trying to listen to all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
I don't really have... I don't really listen to Discover Weekly anymore. I used to a lot, but now it's kind of like I usually can find what I'm looking for. And one final question. I know we've...
this is our third final question. I promise it's almost over.
We're just out of practice, guys. Don't blame it on us. What are you going to recommend to the people? What's one thing you want to recommend?
Sure. The new Sturgill Simpson album. It's good.
Oh. I haven't listened to that. I am going to recommend the Hella Mega Tour playlist featuring Green Day, Weezer, I think it's the Interrupters, and Fall Out Boy. Just jam out. If you're feeling angry, put it on and jam out.
Also, one last one, the new Tyler, the Creator. Gosh. Sorry, I would be mad at myself if I didn't mention it. Call me if you get lost. Tyler, the Creator is really good.
Okay. Ooh, that, I agree with that. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Martha and Colby Grow Up. Colby's taking next month off, so it'll just be me doing God knows what. We'll figure it out then. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Find us online at www.marthaandcolby or on Twitter and Instagram at Martha and Colby.
Thanks to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon.
One, two, three. Cool.
Hi.
First take. 3 was a pop culture.